I will live my life according to these beliefs. God does not exist. It's just foolish to think that there is an all-knowing God with a cosmic plan. That an all-powerful God brings purpose to the pain and suffering in the world is a comforting thought. However, it is only wishful thinking. People can do as they please without eternal consequences. The idea that I am deserving of hell because of sin is a lie meant to make me a slave to those in power. The more you have, the happier you will be. Our existence has no grand meaning or purpose. In a world with no God, there is freedom to be who I want to be. But with God, life is an endless cycle of guilt and shame. Without God, everything is fine. It is ridiculous to think I am lost and in need of saving. And that's how I felt before Christ opened my eyes, changed my heart, and reversed my thinking. I am lost and in need of saving. It is ridiculous to think everything is fine without God. Life is an endless cycle of guilt and shame. But with God, there is freedom to be who I want to be. In a world with no God, our existence has no grand meaning or purpose. The more you have, the happier you will be, is a lie meant to make me a slave to those in power. Because of sin, I am deserving of hell. The idea that people can do as they please without eternal consequences is only wishful thinking. It is a comforting thought, however, that an all-powerful God brings purpose to the pain and suffering in the world, that there is an all-knowing God with a cosmic plan. It's foolish to think God does not exist. I will live my life according to these beliefs.
Amen and amen and amen. Have you ever noticed that sometimes the best way to move forward is to reverse your course and to shore up what's behind you? Have you ever, like this video, found yourself in a place where you said, what I need to do here is to reverse course. I need to back up. I need to go back to the beginning and get to a place where my foundation can be firm. I pray that you're going to see today that's exactly what we're going to do in a time that I pray may be amongst the most important that you will ever spend under the teaching of God's word. You say, wow, that's pretty lofty. I believe that what we're going to do today is going to cover what might be the most important of all exhortations in all of the Bible. And I don't use those kinds of words loosely. We're in a sermon series entitled No Matter What. We're walking through the book of 1 Peter, which is very much aligned with us. Very much aligned with us. It's written to a church that is the true church in the midst of a lot of false church and a lot of persecution. Difficult times. When it was hard to be a Christian. When there were lies and liars all around and persecution and pressure all around. God spoke these words. We saw that last week in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets. But now, in these times, he speaks to us through his Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen? Well, we're going to walk back through some of where we've already been in 1 Peter. We're going to look at the first 10 verses in a way that I pray you'll see parallels in part. That video. We're going to go backwards to better understand going forward. Today, we're going to look at verses 11 and 12. I'll roll back in verse 10. 10, 11, and 12. But before we go ahead, let's again go back. Come with me. If you have your Bibles, and I pray that you do, read the Word of God with me so that the Word of God can read you and help you. It's God's Word that says, and here I lift up the scriptures. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Peter, a sent one. Let's pray. Because if you're here today and you're a Christian, you're a sent one. And I pray this comes right home to your heart. Lord Jesus, I pray right now on behalf of each one that can hear my voice, that they hear your voice. They hear you speaking. They sense the power and the presence of you and your spirit. Lord Jesus, do what only you can do here, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, Messiah, to those who are elect, exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus the Christ, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, see the Trinity, and for the sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you, you church, you true believers. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We get to be blessings to God the Father. Amen. According to his great mercy, he, God, has caused us, who's us? He has caused us to be born again. If you're born again, you're a part of the us. If you're not born again, you're not part of this us. Very, very important to understand. According to his great mercy, he has caused us amazing grace. We sang of it already this morning. He caused you to be born again, Christian, if you are in fact born again. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope. Don't you dare grumble your way through this life, Christian. You have a blood-bought living hope right here, says God's word. A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Praise God. It's also kept in heaven for you. Who's you? Born again by the grace of God to this place. You who, by God's power, check that out, by God's power, you are being guarded. How? Through faith for a salvation that is ready. Note here, we're going to build on faith and salvation today. So by God's grace, per his empowered protection of you, you have a salvation by grace through faith that is being kept in heaven. You who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this reality, in this promise, in this salvation, you rejoice. Amen and amen. Even though now, for a little while, just 50 years, just 100 years, just a little while, compared to 10 billion years to start up, 50 years, 100 years, little while, even though now for a little while, you may grieve because you are going through various trials. I want to speak to you again by backing up and letting you know if you're a Christian, if you're the church, if you're the real deal, you're going to grieve for a little while, Don't lose sight of the victory that has been won because you find yourself now for a little while in the throes of the battle. Let me just remind you and hopefully give you a little perspective here.
Lord, can you hear me? I'm here, fighting, pressing to remember what you said. But this onslaught of thoughts fills my head with dread, and I need you. Like enemies encamped, shrouded in the dark, I can feel the fascination of too many temptations reaching for my heart. So I need you to hear me. For I know your ears are attentive to the righteous, and I know that your ways are certain. Even when my worries would trample me to dust, still, I know you are good. Your hand is just. So come now, be the salvation for my sins. Help me to begin again, that you would mend this trend of hopelessness. God, deliver me in my brokenness. I can feel your presence, even now in the ugly, in the mess that has been made. You surround me with your benevolence. Yes, your love is on display, and I can see it. Carving roads through the struggles and the troubles, past temptations and devices that seek to choke me out. So come fear, come failure, come opposition or doubt. Jesus, you are my deliverance. Your grace is sufficient. Trusting you is my only way out. Now I turn my mind to dwell on your truth. Curate the condition of my heart to manifest joy. Be my living proof. Subdue the haters. Quell the voices inside. Transform me, Lord. Extinguish my pride. You've won the battle. I trust in your plans. Yes, God. I surrender all my worries, my woes, and my demands into your eternally capable hands.
Can you relate? Do you know this battle? Do you know the reality of living in this place where, again, quote, in this you rejoice. You rejoice on the battlefield. You rejoice in the midst of the throes of this carnage that we're walking through in life. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, 50 years, 100 years, that's it, just for a little while. If necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. You're not going to get away with this. You're not going to find a way around it. It's right through it with the word, the will, and the way of God, the spirit of God, the family of God. This is what we do. So that the tested genuineness of your faith. Uh-oh, check this out. Now we got a qualifier. So that the tested genuineness of your faith. It's not, I got faith. No, is it genuine biblical faith? These trials, they're testing your genuineness of faith so that you'll realize it's more precious than gold that perishes through or even though it is tested by fire. Your faith, we pray, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus. Do you have the faith that will result in, this is the Bible talking to us, praise and glory and honor when Christ returns? Verse 8, though you have not seen him, you love him. So here he's saying, this is how you'll know it's you. You haven't seen him, but you love him. You don't see him right now, and yet you trust him. Though you do not see him now, you believe. You believe in him, and you rejoice with joy that is inexpressible. Imagine that. You've got a joy in Christ that you can't put words to. This is not my words. These are the words of God. You have a joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Verse 9, listen, which obtains the outcome of your faith. Obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This faith is what leads to your salvation. This is the litmus test. This is, let me show you what I call the stickman church diagram. Here it is. So if you've really come through the cross, you're going to be the one in the church that is the church. You're going to be the one in the church who is the church. Because as we've learned, not everybody in the church is in Christ. Not everybody in the building is in the body. So what we're getting here is this reminder. Again, we're going backwards so that we can get ready to go forwards. We're going back to the foundation so that we build our faith on the facts and not on our feelings. This is the word of God. This is an understanding that if and when, verse 9, you are one who's obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls, this is the good news. Those who hold this biblical faith in the biblical Christ to a biblical gospel will have a biblical salvation. That's the point here. That's the real church. And if you're here today or you're within the sound of my voice and you are one for whom this glory story of grace and the gospel applies, if it is you that this is speaking to, you're the church. Praise God. If it's not you, you're not the church. And praise God for his clarity. Let me just remind you, because I know for some, this is troubling. It stirs up. It makes you look inside. Praise God for that. Praise God. I wish every person I knew and loved would take a deep, honest look inside and bring the Bible with you and say, okay, here's what the Word of God says. Who am I? Here's what the Word of God says. What is this? Here's what the Word of God says. What exactly is going on or not going on? When you're a people who will trust and embrace and be what God and His Word have said, you're the church, if that's what He says. And if you're not, He's calling you. Come, come, surrender to victory. Come, lay it all down. I'll pick you up. Let me show you just an encouraging reminder of some folks. I need to qualify what I'm about to show you. They're going to say a wonderful, beautiful thing. It's only to the people that God's Word says are the church. But it's to every single one that God's Word says is the church. Watch this.
Today, no matter where you are gathered,
or how many you're gathered with,
you are still His church.
You are still His church.
God's love hasn't changed.
It is unending.
It is infinite.
It is deep.
And believe when I say His love has power today.
Power to free you,
heal you, and to fill you.
And restore you. God's mercy hasn't changed.
He keeps no record of wrong.
And His mercy is new every morning.
The cross hasn't changed. It's still there for you and for me, no matter who you are or what you've done.
This is what we need to be reminded of today.
That wherever two or more are gathered in His name, Jesus is standing in our midst.
This means the church hasn't changed.
The church isn't a building.
It is you and I together, with the Spirit of God living in us, living through us.
So today, as we come together and as we worship,
let us be reminded that we are still His church.
God is here with us right now.
And no matter what your past looks like or how scary your future may be, you can trust God.
You can trust God.
And because He is here with us,
we have everything we need today. We are still His church.
We are still His church.
We are still His church.
Now, if God's Word has called you His church, you're always going to be His church. And if He's not yet identified you as His church, there's no amount of work that you can do to push yourself in. This is part of what we need to understand. And this is where we left off last week. And so now I say to you, let's pivot. We've looked back. Let's now go back and look forward. Verse 10 here in 1 Peter, God's Word says, concerning this salvation. So you can see we're talking about this biblical understanding of what it is to be the church. This salvation. The prophets who prophesied about the grace. Now stop for a second. We just called it this salvation, and now it's called this grace. Salvation is all of grace. Don't miss that. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully. I pray you're going to see today that we need to search and inquire carefully. I've entitled today's sermon, Let's Us Literally Take This All to Heart. Let us be those who will take God's Word, God's will, and God's ways deep into our heart. Let's be careful and celebrate. Let's be careful and celebrate. This is the exhortation, I think, of all exhortations in the Bible. We need to be careful and celebrate the gospel and its grace. Such biblical clarity is divine transparency for missional integrity and eternal security. That if you and I will be careful and we will celebrate the gospel and its grace, in so doing, we are now embracing this biblical clarity. which is really divine transparency, for our missional integrity and your eternal security. Is there anything more important that you could think of? More blessed to receive, more loving to extend? I'm having a hard time finding anything that would exceed the value, the victory, the importance and the inspiration of such an exhortation. It's the big idea for today's message. As we seek to be careful and celebrate, you'll see in verse 10, the church. To be careful and celebrate, verse 11, the Christ. To be careful and celebrate the co-mission in verse 12. This is the word of God. I pray as we go through, walk with me. Here, let's look at what it is to be careful and celebrate the church, the true church. Here again, verse 10. Concerning this salvation, if you've been saved, you're the church. You're a Christian. If you've been biblically saved, you're a biblical Christian. Now, if you've been saved by your own works, you're not a Christian. If you've been saved by some tradition, some feeling, some outside, you've got a hold of a false gospel, which has given you a false confidence, which puts you in the false church. Again, the Stickman Church, go back a couple of weeks, please, and revisit this teaching. So important to understand who is and who is not, what validates and what confuses. And not based on this preacher or this local church, but the Word of God. The Word of God concerning this salvation, it's specific. The prophets who prophesied about the grace. So this salvation is also known as the grace of our God. And that it would be yours. And this is in part why they searched and inquired carefully. Our English words don't do these two words justice. There's an intensity. It's like the gold miner going into that mountain, doing the dangerous work because they want so much the treasure that they're going to find. There is an intensity to this searching that we're being told the prophets did. Now, these are the guys that God chose to speak through, and they went searching and inquiring so carefully. How about you and me? How should we approach God's word? What does the church have as some of its symbols and some of its fingerprints, the signature? It's being those who are going to be careful, going to search and inquire carefully, all in the context of celebrating unlike anybody else in the world. We have more to celebrate than anybody in the world. Even though for a little while, you're 50 years or so, you may struggle. We will struggle. We'll be persecuted. It's been promised for a little while. For a little while. I want you to think about what we hear in the book of Hebrews. Last week, I shared with you Hebrews 1:1. Let me share with you Hebrews 2, verse 1. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. Hebrews was written to the same type of people 1 Peter was written to. Those who were beginning to buckle under pressure. Those who were beginning to think that they were compromised. Those that would cut and run on Christ and think it was okay. We must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. I'm going to show you another graphic I shared last week. This is to the left of the cross. It's past, before Jesus. To the right of the cross, it's after Christ. It comes up to us today. The Old Testament and its prophets spoke before Christ. We have the gospel being told as early as Genesis 3:15. And those that would be the family of God were the ones who put their faith in the Messiah who would come. His name is Jesus. But they didn't know what we know. But they were still the remnant. They were the church. The true family of God, because they put faith in the God of the Word and the Word of God. On the other side of the cross, same thing. We call it the New Testament. We call it today. We had the apostles' teaching. We have the scriptures. We have the gospel as told in John 3:16. Same gospel. This faith is in the Jesus who came and who is coming again. And here again, those and only those that the Bible would say are his church, are his church. This is what we're being told. We need to pay closer attention. If you look at verse 3 in that Hebrews chapter 2, the writer refers to this as our great salvation. Our great salvation. John Piper says that there is a colossal neglect of the greatness of our salvation. There's a colossal neglect of the greatness of our salvation, and it leads to so much trouble. Why? Because we're not being careful in our celebration. We're either not celebrating enough, or there are so many who are celebrating false religion, false hope, not the living hope that we have. Trusting their history and their sense of tradition or emotion or experience and feeling instead of the facts that come from the very word of God, the living word of God. We're told that they were searching and inquiring carefully, these early prophets. Have you ever thought about this? What does carefully mean? It means to search and inquire full of care. Carefully, full of care. The church should be the family of God that is full of care when it comes to his word, his will, and his ways. This is in large part what it is to be careful and celebrate the gospel and its graces. Let me just give you a couple of quick examples from the word of God and how this principle carries over. Being careful points out words like in, and, the, all. Truth in love. You know what happens if you mess up that preposition in the middle? You end up with something totally different. Truth and love are two silos. Truth in love is harmonized and unified. It's different, right? You need to repent and believe. That and, it unites them. Well, I repented. I just don't believe. But that's good enough, right? I believe, but I haven't repented. No, and unifies them. Do a study on the word all in the Bible. You'll be blown away by how it will impact your perspective. Just look for the alls in the Bible and see how absolute this is. I love the word the. It's called a definite article. Let me tell you some good news. Let me tell you that there is an eternal difference between some good news and the good news. Let me tell you some gospel good news. Eternally different from the good news, the gospel of Jesus the Christ. Be careful. Be careful. Can make so much difference. It's one of the signatures of the church. Let's look at the second part. Let's go to verse 11. Be careful and celebrate the Christ. Here again, listen to the word, not mine. God speaking. Inquiring what person. So they're searching and inquiring carefully about, they're inquiring about what person or time. So they don't know who is the Christ. They're inquiring. They know a Christ is coming, but they don't know who he is. They're searching and inquiring carefully, who is going to be this person and when and how will we know? Now, praise God, on this side of the cross, we know who he is and we know when he came. We know who it is that's coming back, but we don't know exactly when. But I want to ask you to please, please, please be careful and celebrate this Christ, the one that we know from the scriptures who he is. Now, C.S. Lewis tells us that if you think about Jesus, you got to accept he's either a liar, a lunatic, or the Lord. You can't drop him down somewhere in the middle there and say, oh, he's a good teacher. Oh, he's a prophet. He's a divine prophet. No. Talk to the Muslims. They'll tell you about a different Jesus. Talk to the Mormons. They'll tell you about a different Jesus. Talk to the Jehovah's Witnesses. They'll tell you about a different Jesus. Talk to the Catholics who leave him up on the cross but make much of Mary. I tell you the truth. They'll tell you about a different Jesus. Go to a legalistic Baptist church where he's all rules and not relationship. It's a different Jesus. We need to know this specific Savior. And notice it says, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ, this is huge, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit is Christ's Holy Spirit. So they're seeking now from the Holy Spirit to find out about the Christ that is coming from the Spirit of Christ. You see again the harmonization. You start splitting these things out, these truths out, and you're going to end up with something faulty. I think of Acts 1:8, the verse upon which our church is built. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. The Holy Spirit, my witnesses. Again, you see the unification. It's right here. The Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he, the Spirit, predicted the sufferings of Christ. Now, just put yourself in the role of a prophet. We get the privilege of looking back on Christ and all that took place, the suffering of Christ. How'd you like to get the word from Almighty God that the Savior, the Messiah, is coming and he's going to suffer? Hard to even imagine. Hard to imagine. Which is in part how and why they're searching and inquiring carefully. Talked about the Christ who would suffer. How important is it that you and I are careful when we celebrate Christ, who he is, what he has done? I want us to share communion together today. The elements are going to be passed, and while they do, I want you to think in the context of this sermon why it is so important that we are careful and that we celebrate. Like the prophets, that we inquire and search carefully the truth and love of communion and Christ.
It matters why we do this. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus broke bread. He gave it to his disciples. Take and eat. This is my body. He took a cup. Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant. It is poured out for many, for the forgiveness of sins. It matters how we do this. Let each of us look at our lives. Let us recognize our sin. Let us see the grace of God in the body and blood of Christ, broken for us, poured out for our forgiveness. It matters that we do this. Let us eat the bread. Drink from the cup. Remember the Lord's death in our place on the cross, looking for his return. Amen.
Now, in a time where God's word is exhorting us to be careful and to celebrate, there is arguably no better focal point than the cross and our time of sharing in communion. Now, let me remind you that we're told here in 1 Peter concerning this salvation. We've seen in other places where we're called to consider Christ, Hebrews 12. If you're not sure of who Christ is and what he has done, the best you can do is consider. But Jesus said on the night that he would be betrayed, "Do this in remembrance of me." Again, when the church that has been born again, caused to be through the grace of our Lord and his gospel, through faith have become his, we're not only able to remember, we're commanded to remember. Part of being careful in our celebration of the gospel and its grace as a Christian is to believe. Now, the scriptures are clear. If you're not a believer, you're not to partake here. That's no disrespect to anybody. This is respect to our God. Because if somebody is not a biblical Christian, they can't biblically remember what Christ has done. They can consider. But this is a call for those that have been captured by grace through faith in Christ alone, per the word of God alone, for the glory of God alone. And so if that's you, in an exhortation to be careful and celebrate, I want to ask you to take the bread and to literally thank the Lord for what he has done. Let us remember him carefully and celebrate him wholeheartedly together. In the same way, our literal living hope, our inheritance in heaven, it's been blood-bought. And so we remember not only the broken body of Christ on the cross, but the spilt blood that literally washes away the sin of every sheep that knows the great shepherd as their own. Per his love, grace, mercy, and miracle. And if that's you, I want to encourage you to carefully, carefully celebrate Christ by taking this representation of his spilt blood on your behalf, church. Amen and amen. If you have any difficulty at all connecting the prophets of the Old Testament and this exhortation to be careful in our celebration as well as being careful in the searching and the inquiring, I send you to Isaiah 52 and 53. I've given you an extended text in the notes. Go there and see. It's all hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before Christ foretold. If you and I will embrace what it is to be the church, as understood to be only accessible through the grace and the gospel of this biblical Christ, then we'll get to be those that embrace Acts 4:12. Think about it. Salvation is found in no one else. John 6:44, Jesus said it. No one can come to me unless the Father draws me. Jesus again, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So you can't come to Jesus unless the Father does the work, and you can't come to the Father unless Jesus is the one that's doing the work. And you see the Holy Spirit here empowering. We need to consider these things carefully. Now let me ask you, and this is just for context. Those of you that have partaken of communion often, for a long time, maybe years, decades, you've done it arguably scores, if not hundreds of times. How many times have you carefully considered after you took communion what you just did? We've been programmed to carefully approach communion. I dare say that too many of us have not been programmed to walk away from communion equally as carefully. And here again, I want to reverse things now. As we did in the beginning, we ramped up and then we came back. Well, now I want to go back and I want to ask you, when you put the cup down, where did your thoughts of communion go? Careful doesn't quit. Careful doesn't quit. Let this be a fresh reminder and again, just a sweet inspiration.
On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink of it in remembrance of me." Today, we remember his sacrifice. The Lamb of God who died for the sins of the world. We examine our hearts, confess our sins, and humble ourselves before our Creator. We proclaim Christ's death until he comes again, the good news that Christ has overcome the grave and given us hope for eternal life with Him. The body and the blood, such precious gifts given for us. We remember, we proclaim, we eat and we drink, and our souls are satisfied in Him. This is our story. This is the gospel. This is communion.
Communion is not something we do once a month or periodically. It's a remembering of Christ. It's a part of being careful in our celebration. It's celebrating carefully the grace that comes with the gospel. It's who we are. It's understanding what it is to be the church by understanding who Christ is and what He's done. And you'll see as we press in, coming out of verse 11 into verse 12, it puts on display the need to be careful and to celebrate the co-mission that we have with Him. Listen, it's God's word that says at the end of verse 11 that this inquiring, it's about the subsequent glories that also come with Christ in this salvation. And we could literally take a decade and not exhaust all of the subsequent glories that come with Christ in His gospel. Let me just point out from the text above, again, I want to go backwards now. Let's go in reverse. Do you realize just in this text alone, the subsequent glories that you celebrate when you celebrate carefully communion, that you are the elect, that you are an exile. Praise God, this is not your home. How good is that? That we are the people of the dispersion. We're sent out people. That's who we are. We are those that are foreknown by God the Father. We are those that are being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. We are those who are going to obey Jesus Christ. That's a gift, by the way. If you've ever lived long and hard on the other side of the tracks, I was there. It's a gift to be allowed and empowered to obey the King of Kings. We are those that are sprinkled by Christ's blood. We are those to whom grace is multiplied. Mercy is multiplied. We are those for whom Jesus Christ is Lord. We are those to whom God the Father is our Father. You are no longer a spiritual orphan. All of this in the text above. Those who have received and applied God's great mercy. You're those who have been miraculously caused to be born again by grace. You are those who have a living hope. Those who have a heavenly inheritance. Those for whom the resurrection of Christ serves as the deed to your inheritance. All of this in the scripture that is above. Your inheritance, it's not only in heaven, it's perfect. Your inheritance is ready. It's being kept. You, like your inheritance, kept because you are guarded by the power of God. How important is it that we be careful and celebrate what has come, the subsequent glories that are for the children of God, the true church? Well, it leads us to verse 12, and we'll finish here. And see again that we need to be careful and celebrate. We need to be careful and we need to celebrate the gospel and its graces here in the co-mission. Listen to verse 12. It was revealed to them, see the grace, the empowerment of the Spirit of God. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you in the things that you have now announced have been announced to you. What's been announced to you? The scriptures. The word of God. So if you've been the recipient, if this is your salvation, if you're in the us that He's speaking to, you've received the scriptures. How carefully do you need to celebrate the word of God? How many of you have ever felt the sting of being under false teaching? How many of you have known what it was to be deceived by deceivers? We need to be both careful and celebratory when it comes to the Word of God, Again, let me just remind you what we have in the Word of God. Receive this blessing.
The Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its stories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Here, paradise is restored, heaven opened, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject, our good the design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, health to the soul, and a river of pleasure. It involves the highest responsibility, will reward the greatest labor, and will condemn all who trifle with its sacred contents. Pray it in, read it through, live it out, and pass it on.
This is in part what it is to be the church. It's following the commission and the very commands of our Christ and King. It's at the heart of the co-mission with him. That we need to be very careful as we celebrate this commission by being those who, again, have had it revealed to us. The very word of God that has been announced to you. If you've got access to the word of God, you're a blessed people. If you've surrendered to and embraced the truth and love of God's word by the empowerment of his Spirit, you're a blessed people. These truths that we've been reading, these blessings, they're ours, church. But only if we are truly in line with him. And we see this as the verse goes on. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preached the good news to you. Who preaches the good news? That's the church, church. Those that are going to bring the good news to a world that needs it. This is the Great Commission. This is our mission, to bring truth and love to a dark and dying world. We start in the mirror and we walk through the mission field from our kitchen out to the countries, to the continents, all over the world. This is the heart of the Great Commission. Those who preach the good news to you, friends, I pray that you'll see that this is a call and a celebration of what it is to be the church. I want to encourage you to go to Acts 17, see the Bereans. This is a heart cry to be a Berean, to take in the word of God and to bring out the word of God, to search and inquire carefully, to carefully celebrate what it is to be the church in Christ on a mission that is coupled with him. It's the commission. And here again, just a quick reminder of what it is, who we are, that this is not about head knowledge. It's head, heart, and hands unified together, being the church. Again, I share this with you in prayer that it'll bless you.
What is the church? The church is the people of God, powered by the Spirit of God, guided by the Word of God, working for the glory of God. This is the church. The church is not just a place. The church is the people. The church is not just a monument, it's a movement. The church is not just a building, it's a body. The church is not just an accessory, it's a necessity. This is the church. The Bible says the church is the hope of the world, the salt of the earth, and the city on a hill. The church is the family of God, the body of Christ,
and light in the darkness. The church is God's plan A, and there is no plan B. The church is where all kinds of people, from all kinds of places, come together to forsake their sins and to worship their Savior. Where chains are broken and broken hearts are put back together, where prodigals come home and captives are set free, this is the church. Where blind eyes are opened and good news is preached, where the low are lifted up and the proud are brought low, where the lost are found and the helpless find help, where brothers and sisters can find love and acceptance from each other and from their Father in heaven, this is the church. Where the disciples of Jesus are built up in their most holy faith. The church is where the gospel is. The church is where grace is. The church is where God is. The church is you. The church is me. The church is all of us. This
is the church. That's what he's getting to. It's what we have in our passage here. And please notice verse 12 ends by saying, those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels would love to hear. You know, angels don't get redeemed. They have a certain specific curiosity about the gospel and what God's doing in our lives. But notice here, it's through the Holy Spirit. So whether you're in the Old Testament with the prophets, it's the Holy Spirit that's doing the work. It's grace. If it's in the New Testament times, or if it's here today, it's God doing the work. It's his amazing grace. This is at the heart of what it is to be careful and celebrate the gospel and its grace and or graces. This is what it is to be careful and celebrate the church, to be careful and celebrate the Christ, to be careful and celebrate the commission that gives us our marching orders. I want you to think about it, and perhaps you've already seen this. Maybe you're ahead of me. But I want you to think about how these are all united in the grace and the glory of the living God. Have you realized that it's the church that is the miraculous family of grace? It's the Christ, as we see here, Jesus the Christ, who is the Messiah and the gospel of grace. He is the good news. He is the gospel of grace. So the church is the family of grace. Christ is the Messiah and gospel of grace. And the co-mission is the commanded mission of grace. It is God's amazing grace that unifies all of this by faith, which brings us to salvation. This is the teaching of God. Again, I leave you with this thought. Be careful and celebrate. Both and. Be careful and celebrate the gospel and its graces. Such biblical clarity is divine transparency for missional integrity and eternal security. If you've been in a place that's been hard, if you're in a place where you're struggling, before I leave you with one helpful practical tool, I encourage you, listen again and take this journey. Perhaps you need to go back in order to come forward.
All hope is lost. And it is no longer true that I will live in peace and harmony with my God. It is almost beyond imagining, but perfect days of walking with Him in paradise are over. And now I am destined for days of separation and longing for my true home. My sin is beyond God's grace to forgive. I have come to realize that it is foolish to believe that God could accept me after all that I had done. How can can it be? To think that all my prayers went unheard. How foolish it was to believe that he loves me. There is nothing left to do but declare that I am lost, without hope and future. And I can no longer believe that I will be restored. When sin came, it brought death. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died in our place, and it brought life. He rose again, and everything turned upside down. I will be restored, and I can no longer believe that I am lost without hope and future. There is nothing left to do but declare that he loves me. How foolish it was to believe that all my prayers went unheard. How can it be to think that God could accept me after all that I had done? I have come to realize that it is foolish to believe that my sin is beyond God's grace to forgive. Days of separation and longing for my true home are over, and now I am destined for perfect days of walking with him in paradise. It is almost beyond imagining, but I will live in peace and harmony with my God. And it is no longer true that all hope is lost.
For all those who have come to Christ biblically, the old is gone, the new has come. I pray that you see that this is the target of this message, that I'm aiming for your heart with a living hope that can pierce through anything that you're going through or have experienced. I pray that this message, this passage, shows to you why it's so important that we are careful and celebrate the gospel and its graces. I pray that this exhortation will stay with you forever and ever and ever. And I send you away with a help. I want to empower your careful celebration of the gospel and its graces. I want to empower your careful celebration of the gospel and its graces. I offer to you the word empower, 7-letter acronym. Remember this, I pray, and be blessed on your journey with Jesus. Number 1, E, how can you elevate and exercise your engagement of and with God's word? How can you ask yourself, you want to be empowered to be careful and celebrate? Ask yourself, how can I elevate and exercise my engagement with God's word? The M of empower, what message and methods best embody God's word, God's will, and God's ways in this circumstance? P, what does God's full context, biblical truth and love, teach me about the principle or the particular that I'm focused on? The O, how am I to obey and overcome in application of my attitudes and my actions in this situation? The W of empower, what are God's intended effects for this particular issue or truth when it comes to my worship and my witness? What is God's intended effect? The E of empower, how should this truth and love impact my evangelism and my everyday life? How should this impact my evangelism and my everyday life? And lastly, and perhaps most importantly, whether or not the letter R at the end of empower, whether or not I'm looking at something that is biblical revelation, is this a thus says the Lord, or is it just a personal, missional, relational application? Now hear me, because this is a place where there's a lot of derailment. A lot of people going around saying God said so when he had nothing to do with it. Nothing. And if you think that you've got biblical revelation, when all you really have is personal, relational application, you're going to be in a world of hurt. We need to understand the difference. You'll be empowered when you get this right. You'll be in deep, deep trouble when you get it wrong. Because if he said something and you don't accept it, it's disobedience. If you say something and you say that he said it, then you've now taken his authority and you've put it out of place. You could argue that's blasphemous. Okay? So I pray that you'll be empowered to be careful and celebrate. It's a both and. Beautiful tension here. Beautiful tension. Be empowered to be careful and celebrate the gospel's grace all day, every day, because that biblical clarity is divine transparency for missional integrity and eternal security. I pray 1 Peter 1:10 through 12 will stay with you for the rest of your life. I'm going to pray to close us. I'm going to stand here and be available to pray with anybody afterwards. But know this, there'll be three songs that are going to be shared. The first two, they kind of serve as exclamation marks on this message. The third one's special. It's for those who might feel like, hey, this is talking to me. I think God's talking to me. I think this is one of those relational, biblical moments. And I ask you, there won't be words to sing. Just sit and let it soak over you. And then get with Jesus. I have nothing for you but Jesus. You don't need me or anybody else. You need him. If that third song speaks to you, don't you let dynamite blow you out of where you're at with him. Amen? Lord, thank you so much for what you do that only you can do. Thank you for the clarity that calls us to be careful as we celebrate. We don't want to be so careful that we don't celebrate, and we don't want to celebrate so much that we're not careful. Lord, show us the beautiful both and that comes directly from your word, your will, and your ways. And Lord, I pray that right here, right now, whether it's live or in a recorded hearing later, I pray that right now you cancel reservations in hell and you open up more of that treasure of inheritance in heaven. I pray it all in the powerful and precious, unique, and holy name, Jesus the Christ. Amen and amen.
I stand in front of the mirror, but I don't like who's looking back at me. Wish I could see things clearer, oh, like who I'm supposed to be. In every trial, lift me higher through the fire, hold me tighter, remind me again that I was made for more. Who I am in the eyes of the Father, who I am is love set free. Who I was, I left at the altar. I am yours, Lord, I believe. It's who I am. Haven't left a stone unturned. Anything I've been facing, oh, I'll keep standing on your word. In the water, take me under, fill my lungs to speak your wonder. You brought me out of the darkness, I was made for more. Who I am in the eyes of the Father. for me to have everything for all of eternity. A song in my lungs to sing. You gave up everything for me to have everything for all of eternity. A song in my lungs to sing. I'm a child of the Most High God, and the Most High God's for me. I'm a child of the Most High God, and the Most High God's for me. It's who I am in the eyes of the Father. Who I am is love set free. Who I was, I left at the altar. I am yours, Lord, I believe. It's who I am. It's who I am. I'm a child of the Most High God, and the Most High God's for me. I'm a child of the Most High God, and the Most High God's for me.
Can walk into a city I cannot see. The depths of the valley where the sun can't reach. I've been high, I've been low, I've been looking for the river that could fill my soul. Been walking to a city I cannot see.
Fill my cup, Lord, run it over.
Thank you.
turn this thing around. Gotta turn it around. Gotta turn it around. Gotta turn it around. I'm calling on the name. It changes everything. Yes. Gotta turn it around. Gotta turn it around. Gotta turn it around. All of my hope is in the name of Jesus. Breakthrough will come, come in the name of Jesus.
Pray God come, turn this thing around. God turn it around. Turn it around, God, turn it around. Call out the name, it changes everything. Yeah. God, turn it around, God, turn it around, God, turn it around.
God is doing something. Say right now, He is up to something. He is up to something. God is doing something. Yeah.
Right now, He is healing someone.
Yeah.
He is saving someone. God is doing something.
Right now.
Turn it around. God, turn it around.